You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 21. Today we're going to help you answer the question, did you miss God's plan for your life? I have some really good news for you about that question. And also we're going to look at today a satanic priest and his conversion back to the true faith and how he became a blessed. It's going to be a great show. Stay tuned. Howdy, and thank you for tuning in to The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. It's a podcast about Christian productivity. And my goal this week is to help you answer this question for yourself. Did I miss God's plan for my life? Did I do something in the past to screw it up and now I'm off course? When we look at the past, we have a lot of regrets. We see things that we could have done better, and we often wonder, did I really screw it up permanently? Am I completely off course? Well, I've got some great news for you. We're going to look at some scripture. We're going to look at a saint. We're going to look at some stories and some experiences. And I think after you finish this podcast, you're going to walk away with a little extra kick in your step because you're going to realize how wonderful God is to you and his new plan for you, a renewed plan in Christ. So we'll begin right away with our tip of the week, as we do every week on this podcast for those that are new. And the tip of the week is the importance of family time. I've talked about it before on the podcast, but it really hit me. Last week, I had a somewhat stressful week. There are three items that have been hanging over me for a couple months, actually. And in one single week, God removed all three. It was wonderful. And in order to celebrate, Joy and I went out to dinner. We were invited by some friends, Ben and Laura Olson. And they invited us to go to this really up-and-coming hip Thai restaurant in Dallas. And I got to make a little confession here. I'm not a big fan of Thai food, and it's mainly because I have a severe peanut allergy. I've been allergic to peanuts since I was a kid. My mom figured that out as she was stuffing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in my mouth as a 1 or 2 year old, and I was crying and breaking out in rashes. Quickly figured that one out. But ever since then, I've had this peanut allergy. So when I'm on Southwest Airlines and they start bringing out the peanuts, I start to sweat and get nervous. And then the person next to me is eating the peanuts and they're like, "Hi, how are you?" And I have to just offer up and do everything I can not to go nuts because there's this peanut fumes filling the aircraft. So anyway, they invited us to a Thai restaurant. My wife spent a year living in Malaysia and she loves Thai food. She ate a lot of it there and she never gets it because I'm not a fan. And Thai food has a ton of peanuts in it. If you've ever eaten Thai food, a lot of the dishes are just sprinkled with peanut love all over the place. So we were invited to go to this Thai restaurant. And I said, "I don't know. You know, once I was at a restaurant, someone ordered some Thai food and I had to leave the restaurant because of the smell of the peanuts." And so we decided to just give it a shot. So we went to this restaurant and it was packed. It was booming. Everyone was there. And the smell didn't overcome me of the peanuts. And we sat down for probably the most amazing meal I've had in 12 months. It was awesome. I told the waiter, "Look, I got a peanut allergy. You got to take care of me, buddy." And he did. Jose, thank you. If you're listening, thank you. I had this like braised duck with this like curry and chili on it and coconut flavored rice, and everything was peanut free. So I was loving that. And then my wife, I insisted she eat something peanut-free because, you see, if she eats something with peanuts in it, I can't kiss her. In fact, we joke, you know, of course we're Catholics, so we don't practice contraception, but we joke that the only form of contraception we have is Snickers bars, because if she eats a Snicker bar, I got to stay far away. Because I can smell it on the breath. It just bothers me. It's horrible. So anyway, I hope I'm not being too personal here, just letting you know on the inside of what's going on in my life. So we had this amazing meal, and then we also, during that weekend, we went to the park with our kids and some friends, and we played Capture the Flag and some games. And at one point, I was just sitting on this riverbank with my two-year-old son. We were throwing rocks into the river, and it was one of those moments where time stops. You know, the weather was perfect. It was like 65 degrees. I was with my little two-year-old who looks like me, and we're throwing rocks into the water, and the sand is cool, and a breeze is coming through. And I realized, wow, this is what life's all about. You know, I had a great meal with my wife and some friends. I'm here at the park with my little ones, having a good time. And I said, you know, this is what people need. Time with their family. Time for a little bit of enjoyment, a little break from the hard elements, some of the bitterness we have in this valley of tears in this life, and a little bit of just peace and serenity. And so that leads us in to our proverb of the week. And I'm doing something a little different this week. It is a proverb, but it's not from the book of Proverbs. It's from another book of the Bible, Ecclesiasticus, also known as Sirach, which is another book of Proverbs. Just like the book of Proverbs. Now, our Protestant brethren do not have this book in their Bible, thanks to good old Martin Luther. And if you really want my thoughts on Luther, you can go back to episode, let me pull it up, number 9. That's my thoughts on Martin Luther. Go to taylormarshall.com, click on podcast at the top of the screen, and you'll see all the archives of all the past shows. Just go to episode 9. My thoughts on Martin Luther. Anyway, so this proverb this week comes from the book of Ecclesiasticus, or Sirach, and it reads like this. Do not deprive yourself of a happy day. Let not your share of desired good pass you by, end quote. There you go. There is a commandment in the scriptures. It's from the Holy Spirit. This is the inspired word of God. Do not deprive yourself of a happy day, right? There are blessings that God gives us every day, our daily bread, even if it's just a simple meal with your family. Let it be a happy moment. Let not your share of desired good pass you by. What does that tell me? That tells me that God is giving us some good every day, and we can allow it to pass us by, right? There's this stream of goodness going by us. And we can either choose to accept it and enjoy that desired good that God's given us, or we can let it pass us by. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes, not Ecclesiasticus, but in Ecclesiastes, that God gives us the ability to enjoy life. You can be a millionaire. You can be a billionaire. You can have everything, the cars, the house, the money. But if God doesn't give you the ability to enjoy it, you won't. You'll be miserable. So there it is, Sirach 14:14. Put it on a post-it note, put it on your mirror, and don't let your share of desired good pass you by every day. And now we'll take a look at our featured segment answering the question, did you miss God's plan for your life because of something you've done? I recently spoke at a men's conference, and it was wonderful. You know, there's over 100 men in the room from the parish, and they were all fired up, and it was fun. You know, the presentations were humorous and interesting, but also delivered a lot of meat and talked about what we can do to reinvigorate our marriages and how we can help our kids grow in their faith and to persevere through college and have happy lives themselves and vocations and marriages. It was great, you know, it was wonderful. And I got a lot of great feedback, and I was kind of on cloud 9. And then at lunch, an older gentleman came up to me, pulled me aside. He says, I have a question and a recommendation. And so I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And he said, well, I love what you're teaching. You know, it's really good. It's really encouraging. But, you know, my kids are all grown up. And to be honest, I did a terrible job, really horrible, and all my kids are in a lot of trouble right now. I said, I'm sorry to hear that, sir. And he said, well, I want to know, is there any hope for me? I mean, did I already mess it all up? Is it all done? And, you know, could you, you know, in the future, maybe in your presentations, you could address those of us who are past parenting or later on in life and we haven't done what God wanted us to do. Is there any hope for us? And honestly, at the moment, to my shame, I was just sort of speechless. I didn't know what to say. It kind of came out of the blue for me. And I said I'd pray for him and gave him some reassurance. But afterwards, I thought a lot about that comment. And, you know, when I'm around the country and I speak to people, a comment that I often hear is, you know, my kids have left the church and I messed it up. What do I do? And often in philosophy courses that I teach, I hear young people, these are 18, 19, 20, 21, and they're asking me the question, have I missed God's plan for my life? Or maybe they're people in their late 20s or 30s, and they're saying, did I miss God's plan? Was I supposed to marry so-and-so? Have I messed it all up? Is there any way to return and fix it? And, you know, maybe you're listening to this and you're like, oh, Taylor, it's much worse. You know, I've really messed it up. I've been in jail. You know, I killed someone. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I've missed the boat on God's plan for my life because I had an abortion, or I helped someone have an abortion. Or maybe you're saying, you know, I abandoned my spouse and I realize now that it was wrong, but I missed the boat. God's plan has passed me by. Or I abandoned my children, or I committed adultery, or, man, you don't know, Taylor, I abused someone. God's plan for me is over. Or I left the church for decades. Or, you know, I was a drug addict. I was a Satanist. You know, or, you know, maybe you could say, look, I was an atheist for 30 years. Obviously, I missed God's plan for my life. Or maybe you have a pornography problem. You know, or maybe it's just back to where we started. I didn't raise my children correctly, and now they're in a lot of trouble, and I feel guilty, and I realize that vocation that I had as a parent, I squandered, I wasted. I've lost God's plan for my life. I am so far off track. Well, listen, today there is some very good news for you. You have not missed God's plan for your life. Now listen, God, of course, has a perfect plan for your life, but he's also God and he knows all things. He knew the schedule of your entire life with all of its possible contingencies, all of its possible choices. He knew all of that way back before he even created the stars. He even knew the mistakes that you would make. So ask yourself, is God smart enough to get this train back on the track? Do you believe in a God that's that smart and that powerful that could get someone who's so far off the path back on the path and get this, even further along the path than they might have imagined? The answer from the Bible is not just yes, but absolutely yes. God's plan for your life and for all of humanity includes the sin, the bad decisions, the anger, the insults, the wounds, the abuse that humanity has thrown upon itself, and God transforms all of that and brings about something good. It's the story repeated over and over and over again in the Bible. So let's begin with Joseph. You remember Joseph? He's the guy with the technicolor coat. You know, back in the 80s, you know, the cool thing was the members only jacket. It's like Jacob gave Joseph the members only jacket. You know, or for later on, you know, 90s, the starter jacket. For those who remember that, right? He gave him the prized jacket. Now in the Hebrew there, the colored coat, the coat of many colors, is denoting a priestly garment. Joseph was being denoted by his father with a priestly vestment, a garment, which symbolized that he carried on the priesthood of the firstborn. This is how priesthood was passed down in the Old Testament prior to Moses and the Levitical law. If you're interested in that, I dedicate a chapter of it in my book, The Crucified Rabbi. Going back to Joseph, he was favored by his father, Jacob. And he was given this coat, and his brothers resented him. And as you know, they wanted to kill him, but they didn't kill him. They ended up throwing him in a pit, and they put blood, animal blood all over his jacket and brought it back to his dad, Jacob, and they sold him into slavery. And the slave trade led him to Egypt, where he was a common servant, a slave, a serf in a man's house. And a woman tried to commit adultery with him, and he refused. He ran out of the house naked, right? And he was put in prison. So he went from being the favored son of Jacob to being a common slave to a prisoner. Think about this. As Joseph sat in an Egyptian jail cell, do you think he ever thought, man, I've missed my boat. I missed God's plan. You know, I used to have those dreams back when I lived in my father's house about my brothers bowing down to me and my father and my mother bowing down to me. And now I'm a prisoner in a foreign nation. You know, just imagine yourself in like a prison cell in China. That's what it'd be like. It seems like he lost his path. And I bet he thought, you know, I shouldn't have bragged so much to my brothers because that made them so envious of me, and it led them to sell me into slavery. If I hadn't bragged and boasted about my dreams to my brothers, I would still be number one in my dad's household. I'd probably be eating great food and great meat, and I would have been the heir, and I would have gotten all the wealth of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the promises and all the blessings. Man, why did I do that? Why did I brag? I'm off track. But if you know the rest of the story, God raised him up through another dream, and he became the right-hand man to Pharaoh. And when his brothers were in a time of famine and needed food, they came to Egypt, and they met with their brother, even though they didn't know it was their brother. And their brother provided them food, and then eventually, amazing prosperity. And then he revealed himself as their long-lost brother. And the people of God were preserved. And we see in this story that, you know, despite Joseph's boasting and the sins of his brothers, God's plan endured. Sin was introduced and God's plan endured. The same thing happens in the life of Moses. You know, Moses grew up in the home of Pharaoh, right? He had all the luxuries of life, right? It was like growing up in the White House, right? He had everything. And one day, he saw someone beating one of his fellow Hebrews, and he killed the man. He committed murder, and he had to flee. And he went out, and he was a shepherd in the deserts, right? In the wilderness, he was a shepherd for 40 years. And I bet as he sat there looking at his sheep, he thought to himself, man, where would I be now if I hadn't killed that man? I really messed up God's plan for my life. I wish I hadn't done that. I wonder where I'd be now if I hadn't sinned. But God had plans. He appeared to him in a burning bush. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Let my people go, the Red Sea, 40 years in the wilderness, and died seeing the Holy Land. So God put his life back on track. In the ultimate example for us, for those of us who are Christians, who are Catholics, who are Christ followers, who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we know that the greatest blessing ever given to mankind was the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in order for that death to happen, Christ had to be persecuted by sinners and murdered. Christ was murdered. And that death of Christ, which he laid down freely without resistance, was the price of our redemption, your redemption and my redemption. So here we see once again, God is using sin. He's using what is ugly, and he's turning it around and bringing about a greater grace. Now, one of the classic passages in the New Testament for this is Romans chapter 5, verse 20 through 21. Reads like this. But law came in with the result that the trespass multiplied. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that just as sin exercised dominion in death, so grace might also exercise dominion through justification, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the really important part, I mean, it's a great passage right there, but for our purposes today, the really important part is where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Right? So in your life, wherever sin increases, grace abounds all the more. When you sin a whole lot, God gives you more graces to get out of that hole. Right? He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be in heaven. He desires all men to be saved. That's in the infallible Word of God from the mouth of the Holy Spirit. Right? So there is no sin, no mortal sin that you can commit in which will drive you away from God forever, for which he does not already have the remedy to fix it. Now, another great passage is John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. It says, from his fullness, that is the fullness of Christ, we have all received grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. So think of the graces like diamonds or rubies, and they're just piling up. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. You know, if you've seen the recent film, Hobbit 2, think about that storeroom where the dragon is. All that gold, all those diamonds, all those jewels. And just think of it as stacking up over time, getting more and more full. That is the economy of God. Grace upon grace. Now, the Greek for John chapter 1:16 is interesting for this verse. For grace upon grace, we see charin anti charitos. Charin anti charitos. Literally, grace in place of grace. Anti, right? It can mean upon, but it means almost in place of. So God gives you graces, and even if you are refusing them, more graces follow. He's pursuing you with his love, pursuing you with his grace. Jesus says he is the great shepherd. He will leave the 99 to find the one. If you're the one that's gone away, he will come and find you. And he finds you with his grace, grace upon grace. And in case you're, for all of our Latin scholars out there, in the Vulgate, Jerome has it as gratiam pro gratia. Gratiam pro gratia. Grace for grace. Okay. Now, the last passage I'm going to look at is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. St. Paul says, he's complaining to the Lord that he has this affliction. And God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So, are you convinced? Are you convinced that God can use your weakness, your sin, your ugliness, and turn it around for something good and true and beautiful? I want to make an analogy here. Okay, so let's say that you're standing at the on the road of your life, and Christ walks up to you, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed the plan. You know, the car came by, and I didn't get in. In fact, I got really lost. You know, I went on the wrong streets, the highways and the hedges, and I'm gone. Or maybe you'll say, you know, Christ, not only did I get off the path, I got in another car and sped as fast as I could in the opposite direction. So I'm not only off the path, I am backward. I went the other way. So if you placed me in Chicago and said, go to New York, I drove to LA. That's how far off track I am. And here's what our Lord would do. He would take you by the hand, and he would walk you over to a parking lot. There'd be all these cars, Camaro, Corvette, and he'd say, Lamborghini, what if I gave you this car? Could you catch up to where you should be on the map? You said, you know, Lord, I've really messed up. I don't even think a NASCAR is going, or a dragster is going to catch me up. I mean, I've really screwed up. I am so far behind. And they'll say, okay, well, come with me. How about this F1 car? No, I've messed it up too much, Lord. Then he'll take you over and he'll say, look at this. This is a private jet. Can you get to where you need to go on the map with this? In other words, I'm going to get you into this jet and I'm going to fly. And if I need to go Mach 1, Mach 2, Mach 3, I am going to get you back to where you need to be. I am that powerful. I am God. That's what our Lord would say to you. He has graces for you reserved in a treasury that you don't even know about, right? He had all the graces for you, you know, along your life, and maybe you resisted those, and maybe you said no, and maybe you sinned in terrible, terrible ways, spent time in jail, mortal sin after mortal sin. But he has greater sins to overcome even that, right? So ask yourself, is God smart enough to create a plan for me to get back on track? Is it going to look different? Yes. But can he still slingshot you and excel you into holiness by special graces that are just for you because of the situation that you're in right now? Of course. Of course he can. Now, I want to challenge you, challenge everyone listening. And the challenge is this. Maybe you missed out on graces in the past. You committed great sins. But probably that happened. No, not probably. It did happen because you did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, some people are thinking, uh-oh, Taylor's going to go all Protestant evangelical on us. No, no, no. Hold on. Okay? Maybe you didn't truly appreciate that Jesus Christ was there for you in the Eucharist. Maybe you didn't fully realize that when you go to confession as a Catholic, when the priest pronounces the words of absolution over you, those are the words of Jesus saying, I absolve you. Maybe you didn't realize that all the saints were giving you a pattern to have a personal, intimate, and this is really important, daily relationship with him, right? If you're going to follow Christ, you have to know him and have a relationship. And so the challenge is the 15-minute challenge. Every single day for the rest of your life, you must talk to Jesus. We call it prayer, right? You must talk to him 15 minutes every day. Never miss that appointment. And if you're plugged into him, those graces will flow. And these super abundant graces, the grace in place of grace, the graces upon graces, they will flow to you and begin to restore your life and get you onto God's plan and bring about amazing blessings that you could have never imagined if you plug in to him, if you abide in him, if you are united to him, if your identity is in the Greek, en Christo, in Christ. I would encourage you to go back and listen to episode number 19. That's the 12 characteristics, the 12 elements of one who is a Christian, a follower of Christ. It comes from St. Paul right there in the book of Romans. And we'll be right back after this quick break. We're going to look at a man named Bartolo Longo. He was a satanic priest in the 1800s. He worshiped Satan, he hated Christ, he hated the church, he hated the Pope, and yet he was converted and he became a blessed. He'll likely one day be a saint in the Catholic Church, and it will only prove to us, once again, everything we covered here in the Scriptures, God has grace upon grace, graces in place of graces. He has super abundant mercy for those who turn to him, and God's plan can include all the ugliness, all the sin in the past, and he can transform it into an even greater plan. And in this case, with Bartolo, he became a great apostle of mercy, an apostle of forgiveness, an apostle for the poor, and especially an apostle for the rosary. So stay tuned. right. Well, speaking of converts, this weekend is the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, a great persecutor of the church, and God made him into the great apostle to the nations, the apostle of the Gentiles. And in order to celebrate that, I'm going to be giving away 10 copies of my book, The Catholic Perspective on Paul. This book, The Catholic Perspective on Paul, shows that the key to all Catholic doctrine, and this is why, by the way, Protestants don't understand Catholicism, because the key, as taught by Paul, is that everything in the Christian life participates in the person and work of Jesus Christ. This is the teaching of Paul. So more than talking about justification or sanctification or any of these categories, in every single one of Paul's letters, he uses the term en Christo, in Christ. And this goes back to his conversion on the road to Damascus when Christ says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Because by persecuting the church, Paul persecuted Jesus. And so we see here that the church is the body of Christ. And this means that everything that goes on in the church, the seven sacraments, the priesthood, the papacy, even the role of Mary and the saints who are still members of the church, all of that work and all those graces that flow downward through from Christ through the church participate in Christ. So the priesthood on earth and the sacraments on earth and even the saints in heaven don't compete with Christ. They fulfill the mission of Christ. And this book goes through every single Catholic doctrine, from the seven sacraments to the priesthood, even to things like the church's teaching on human sexuality, homosexuality, abortion, contraception. Everything is in this book. It's The Catholic Perspective on Paul, and I'll be giving away 10 copies. The way you can qualify for the drawing is just go to Facebook and go to Dr. Taylor Marshall. That's the public page. I have a private page. I don't usually respond to that one. That's for family and friends. But the public page is Dr. Taylor Marshall with the DR in the front. And if you go to that page and like the page, click the like button, you will be in the drawing. And my two twins, Mary Claire and Rose, will pick five each. So 10 total on the feast of the conversion of St. Paul on January 25th. And I'll mail you the book. There'll be signed copies of The Catholic Perspective on Paul. So go over to Facebook, Dr. Taylor Marshall, and click the like. All right. Now, speaking of converts, we're going to go back over here to Bartolo Longo. Now, when he was in college, he took a philosophy class from a priest who had left the church, left the faith. So this is an apostate priest. And he convinced Longo to abandon his Christianity. And this young man, Bartolo, began to take part in public demonstrations against the church and against the Pope. And he became extremely attracted to the occult. So he was involved in spiritism, seances, occult practices. I see here tipping tables. I don't even know what that is. Some occult practice, maybe like a Ouija board or something. And contact with the world of the demons through witches and mediums. He became an open Satanist, and he eventually became a satanic priest. He was a priest. He was ordained a priest, but not a real Catholic priest, a satanic priest. Now, he had a major conversion, and he was Italian, and he noticed all the poverty in Italy. He noticed the terrible catechesis of the people in his area, the Italian people in his area, and he wanted to do something to serve Christ and to make amends for his blasphemy and for his Satanism that he had wasted his life doing. And so he realized that the rosary could be the key to bring about great graces for his fellow man. And he set up a shrine to Our Lady of the Rosary in the Valley of Pompeii. You may have seen this image, Our Lady of Pompeii. It was one of the favorite images of Padre Pio. Padre Pio had a great devotion to it, and that was set up thanks to our blessed today, Bartolo Longo. Pilgrims started to flood to this image, and people had a great devotion to it and started praying the rosary. Now, why is praying the rosary important? Well, Our Lady is the highest in heaven, the highest created person. Of course, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are God. They are elevated. But amongst creatures, the highest creature is the woman who gave birth to Jesus. Christ entered this world through the portal of Mary. Mary's womb is the gate of heaven. That's how we came to know Jesus. He came to us through Mary. And therefore, Christ honored his mother, just as he honored his father, and he has elevated her as the highest creature. She's not a goddess, she's a creature. Now, the person who hates this the most is someone named Lucifer, because Lucifer, at the very beginning of creation, was the highest creature. He was the highest angel, but because of his pride, he fell. And now the highest creature is Mary. And we see this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God says he will place enmity between the woman, who will be the mother of Jesus, and the little snake, the serpent. So there's this perfect enmity throughout all time between Mary and Satan. And so Bartolo, who had been a Satanist, realized that the cure, the best tool, the best weapon against Satanism and against Satan is the rosary. So he became an apostle of the rosary. The other important thing about the rosary is that it leads us through the gospel. So as you pray the rosary, you meditate upon scenes from the four gospels. The Annunciation through the birth and the life and the passion and the death and the resurrection and glorification of Christ and the Holy Spirit and Mary and the saints. So the rosary is catechetical. And personally, I've talked about this on the podcast before and on the blog. From in my own life, the rosary has taught me more about God and Christ than any book, anything, even going to get a PhD. I've learned more on the rosary. So get your hand on the beads. It's the chain that will unite you to heaven and teach you about the life of Christ. Now, Bartolo even became friends with the popes. He was well known. People celebrated him. He did much good with hospitals and shrines and a trade school for sons of imprisoned men. I mean, his life is full of apostolate. He is a great man of God. And yet here's a man who had been a Satanist, who had given his life over not only to serve Satan, but to be a priest of Satan. So I don't care what you've done in your life, how sinful, how naughty you've been, how many mortal sins you've stacked up. Through the sacramental graces of confession, baptism and confession, and also through the Eucharist, there are graces upon graces waiting for you. Your plan, the plan of God for your life, is not over. He can take you and put you in the private jet and get you to where you need to be in your life, just as he did for Blessed Bartolo Longo. Blessed Bartolo Longo, pray for us. Oh, I should add one more thing here. It was John Paul II, Blessed John Paul II, who will be St. John Paul II soon, who beatified Bartolo Longo. He did that October 26th, 1980, and he named him the Apostle of the Rosary. And if you ever read John Paul II's apostolic letter on the Rosary called Rosarium Virginis Mariae, in that apostolic letter, he mentions Bartolo Longo as a great promoter of the Rosary. Okay, so we'll close up here with our Latin word of the week. Before I do, though, I just want to make an announcement for those of you that are members of the new St. Thomas Institute. We have some great videos. A video went up this week on the fall of Lucifer. We talked a little bit about it in this podcast. There's a full video treatment about the fall of Lucifer over at newstthomas.com. We already have this month the seven reasons to love St. Augustine. We looked at Augustine's nemesis, Pelagius the heretic. Next week, there'll be a video on Augustine's views on predestination. Talk about, you know, getting a headache and thinking about God's will for your life. We're going to go into Augustine and look what he taught about predestination. And then we're going to look at what Thomas Aquinas taught about predestination, and also Lewis of Molina. So that's going to be a really important class for those of you that are in the New St. Thomas Institute. And then we're also going to have kind of a goofy video about the 6 days of creation. It's, you know, like if you've seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite, the Happy Hands Club. So I give you 6 hand signs to remember the 6 days of creation. It's goofy, but it's fun, and I guarantee you will never forget the 6 days of creation after you watch that video. So lots of great things happening in the New St. Thomas Institute. If you want to become a member and start taking courses, we will be launching our certificate program so you can earn a certificate in theological studies through the New St. Thomas Institute. It's all online, and it's ridiculously inexpensive, our tuition. So check it out, newstthomas.com. There's a video there with me explaining how everything works. So you can just go there, watch that short video, and see if it's right for you. Our Latin word of the week, recreatus, having been recreated. The reason I bring this up is because it kind of ties into everything we've talked about in this podcast. Recreation. At the beginning, we talked about spending time with your family and friends. That's recreation. Recreation literally is recreation. You are created again. It reconstitutes you. It gives you rest. It gives you joy. So you need to have recreation with your family. But also, when it comes to God's plan for your life, there is also an element of recreatus, recreating. God is one who can renew. He is the God of the New Testament. There is always something new in the mercy and love of Christ. So no matter how much you've sinned, no matter how far off track you've got, God is always able to recreate you, right? And St. Paul says we are new creations in Christ. He teaches that. That's biblical language. I'm not making that up, right? It's right out of the Holy Scriptures. God can reconstitute you. He can recreate you. All you have to do is open your hands and receive the graces. And you do that by talking to him every day and by receiving the sacraments and by reading the sacred scriptures, okay? That's what it really means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. Okay, so we're going to close it out here. 2 action items. 1, if you like this podcast, if you benefit from it, I would ask you nicely, please, 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 go to iTunes and rate this podcast. Give it a, I'd love a 5-star, but just give it an honest. If you think it's a 1-star, tell me that. I want to read it. I'm interested in the criticism. But if you like it, please give me a generous rating and say something nice about the podcast. The reason I ask y'all to do that so often is it helps people find the podcast within iTunes. iTunes is like a Google engine. And when people type in, you know, Christianity or Christ or Catholicism or whatever it is, the more ratings there are and the more content there is, people are able to find this podcast. So if you like this podcast and you want other people to benefit from it, the best thing you can do, besides just telling someone about it, is go in there and leave a rating and a comment. You go to iTunes, search Taylor Marshall Show, and you can rate it right there. And then also, if you want to get in the drawing to receive some of these, the 10 signed copies of my book, The Catholic Perspective on Paul, go over to Facebook and put in Dr. Taylor Marshall in the search bar on Facebook, like the page, and the drawing will be on January 25th. So you've got 3 days to go in there and like it, and from all the people who like it, we will select 10 of you, and we'll get your address, and we'll mail you out these signed copies of The Catholic Perspective on Paul as a free gift. So thanks so much for doing that for all of you that have already done that. I really appreciate you. And you know, I appreciate all of you for even listening. It's such a blessing to be able to come into your headphones or your earbuds while you're driving around or doing your errands or working out on the treadmill. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's a huge blessing to me, and I look forward to getting to know more of you through the blog and Facebook and the New St. Thomas Institute. So thanks for everything. Really appreciate all of you. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. All right. Peace out. Y'all have a happy feast day of St. Paul, the great convert.